inherently violent.
Blog Talk Radio.
Responsibility to protect Americans. A number of families affected by the Texas school shooting are going after the maker of the murder weapon for legal action. However, experts say a lawsuit is a long shot thanks to federal laws.
There's a general liability shield, and that applies in Texas. There's also a state Texas liability shield. They're one of the states that passed one of these immunity laws.
Timothy Lighton, who is a law professor at Georgia State University, says there have been many lawsuits against gun makers, and not a single one has prevailed. New research suggests the effects of climate change will get worse before they get better. The study led by scientists at the University of Washington shows that getting rid of greenhouse gases will lead to a loss of aerosols in the atmosphere that will cause temperatures to temporarily soar sooner than expected. However, the study says eliminating greenhouse gases would stabilize the planet in the long term. President Biden is heading to Los Angeles today to attend the Summit of the Americas that kicked off Monday. The White House says he'll present a plan to tackle increasing migration. He'll also be pushing a new economic agenda with Latin America as he strives for consensus on an agenda built on existing trade agreements. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Our U.S. medical system is the world's best for trauma. It can also extend our final years, even if we're in a sad state. But the system is just not good at keeping us in balance and preventing disease. I'm certified clinical nutritionist Marty Whittigan. On Healthy by Nature, our experts help you feel your best and stay healthy.
Healthy by Nature, Thursdays at 7 a.m. Learn more at hbnshow.com. That's hbnshow.com. And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, partly sunny skies to start the day out. However, a few more clouds will roll back in later this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 53. For Thursday, Friday, and for Saturday, more clouds and rain showers expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 60s and low temperatures in the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Everybody to Soul Inspired Reflection, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart, with me, your host, Gina Libido. The soul can take on many expressions that bring you into harmony and resonance with your higher self. Feel an aura of love that will envelope you and infuse your being. You'll find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Your dreams are so powerful, and as you become more sensitive to them, you can learn how to identify new energies and how they are communicating with you in body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in this conversation of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. Make a choice, be inspired, and take action. Soul-inspired reflection starts now.
Okay. I cannot tell you. Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to explain something because one of y'all asked me a question 2 days ago, Benny, I think. First of all, let me give a shout-out to the team. Definitely, we've got Jacob here, Olivia, I can't thank you enough. If you were here, I will give you like a hug. I cannot thank you enough for stepping in and helping us out. And Benny, thank you for being Benny every day.
Thanks. Do I get a hug too?
As well. Yeah, everybody gets the hug.
Hey,
I have a clip I do with my little laughing dog, and it's a hug clip, and they want me to now do that for a hug clip, and I'm like, okay. But here's what I want to say about it. Today's show is Gina Libido's show. It's soul-inspired reflections. It is about ascension. It is about a humble awakening of the heart. Now, many of you have asked, we really love this thing, Pat, where you bring these incredible people on and then you're on with them. Yes. Why is it that that is important? One, because we have people like Gina coming out into the world just blazing. and yet has never done this before, yet has done this all her life. She has been prepared for it. But when two or more are gathered, right, folks, that's when the magic happens. Today's show, this episode, she is going to take us on a journey. And I got to tell you, I've been working with Gina. Jessica's been working with Gina. I'm still kind of reeling from the last practice we did together. But think about this episode. The light that shines in our hearts. We're going to talk about this today. We have a full-blown show for you today. But I want you to know a little bit, Gina, and then you're going to know about her yourself. But I want to say this to all y'all out there. Every time you hear me say Gina Libido, write down the number, 1-800-930-2819. That is our live call-in number. Why? Because she is in the world, of the world, beyond the world, to help you do the same. It doesn't matter what kind of question you have. It doesn't matter what insights you want her to bring forward. She is about soul-inspired living, body work, coaching, workshops, clients, speaking, ascension, spiritual awakening. I can go on. She is a certified body worker, advanced crystal healer, shamanic practitioner, and watch this. Nature connected life coach. What? That is amazing. But what you should know is she showed up here in service of all of you, because we have not gone through what we have gone through. And I want to tell everybody this, and then we will get rolling. I have called my senator. 1, 2, 3, 4. 22 times. Why? Because you all have emailed me and said, we heard you talk about the forgotten. See, Gina doesn't deal with the forgotten. She's going to recognize you where you are. She's been through what I've been through. All of us have been through a tough time. Why? Because that is the way it is. But what is it about that for her that you'll hear today that absolutely, beyond all the certifications I read to you, see, you cannot... It doesn't matter how many degrees we have or how many certifications. Our life experiences take us to the place where we can now help all of you. And we are committed to do that. Today's show is one of many. And what a better way to kick this off with an amazing person, our series that is so geared to help all of you, than the light that shines in our hearts. Fabulous show, Soul Inspired Reflections. I want all of you to meet an amazing woman ready to help you. Gina, it's great to have you. I'm ready to rock it. Are you?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I'm just really taking in everything you just said. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. that's all I can say. It's beautiful. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's not only that you're happy to be here. I love the way the universe works, because the people that need to be here to help the rest of the people in the world are showing up, and you're one of them. And I want to honor your courage, but I also want to honor the fact that we are talking about something, the light that shines in our hearts, which you know what that is, but you have had to have this ascension reside in your heart to even say yes to this. Let's talk about, what is the greatest assets of ascension? You know, what is that light that shines within you? And I want to hear more personally for you, mm-hmm. how it ignited that flame in you to have you show up right here today now. Go on.
That's a great question. I'm happy to share. I mean, what I've realized, you have to experience life. We can study everything in the world. We can have so much knowledge. But if you're not applying it in your day-to-day life, you're not going to get ignited by the interactions through people, through your pets, through seemingly accidents. So what occurred for me, there's been many times, but the one choice point and that changed my trajectory in life was a loss of a dear friend of mine. And at that time, we both worked in law enforcement. But it was the events that followed. And I had this deep, like, chord struck in me that I was being treated with such lack of compassion during a really difficult time. And I just thought, I didn't want to live in a world like this. I did not want to live in a world that lacks so much compassion for what a human being may be going through, the loss of someone, discovering them, all these different components, still trying to show up at work and be there for friends that also were impacted. And I'm like, who was there for me? Who was there for me witnessing what I was processing? And that ignited me. That set me on a tone where I started studying body work. I started having going to drum circles, connecting with that heart of the earth.
I love that we get to talk about where we've been, where we've gone to, and how we show up here. Because when people look at our past lives, right, and I don't mean past lives, I mean our past in this lifetime, although I do have some people that look at past lives. You know, one of the things that happens is that we have the emergence and the merging. And I wanted you to really talk about the power of what we're talking about here, the threefold flame. I want to talk about, you know, how difficult maybe it was. I have to tell you, this girl that's showing up right here, this is not the girl, right? Right?
Yeah.
This is not the girl that you go back a bunch of decades. I remember my mentor saying, I want you to stand in front of the mirror, Pat. This is before any of the Dr. Pat stuff. Patty, I want you to stand in front of the mirror, and I want you to say, I am powerful. Do you know how long that took me to do? Tell me about the threefold flame, and tell me about this I am presence. Because once you can do that, even if you fake it, like what changes?
Oh, my gosh. You have the ability, for me, in my experience, it changed my whole life. And now connecting with that threefold flame, to me, is a key to your ascension and transformation and how one walks through the world and experiences it. I call it like our filter. It's that secret chamber in the heart that that's how I learned of it. In other mysticism and Gnostics.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I can't say it either.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Betty to jump in and try to say it right now.
in other traditions, it's referred to as your divine spark. But as I opened up into that vow of compassion, I realized, wow, I'm opening up my heart flame. Mm-hmm. That ignited. And then I followed these traditions of what is it like to work and expand my love? And so what happened is I was working with that threefold flame. I would get these responses back to me in life. And universal law, there's law of opposite. So I encountered a really, really emotional letter or email that my neighbor sent, and it was all over because I always wanted him to pick up the dog poop in his yard. We have a shared backyard.
Yeah.
But what unleashed in him was so much anger. And at this time I was working with the I am presence, our higher self, and calling those qualities in, working with the love ray, that plume inside us, that unseen force. And I handled it in a totally different way, not even realizing what was totally happening, what I called forth. And I just knocked on his door, and he was postured, ready to, like, kind of fight. And I realized quickly, like, oh, that's what he wanted. It was conflict. And then I just looked at him. I'm all, look, if that's how you truly feel about me in that email you sent, that's fine. You have every right to feel whatever way you want. I know that is not who you truly are. All I would like to see is the poop picked up in the backyard. That's all this is about for me. And it de-escalated the whole thing. But I would not have had that experience to practice what it means to expand that love and come from a place of using my power, my voice, because that's the other plume, which is depicted as a blue plume or blue flame. That's our will of God, our voice, our breath, our prana. Hmm. And we have a choice to use that in a more powerful way. And it reminds me of Carolyn Mace, where she said, one word can cut through you like ice, or it can uplift you. And I paraphrase.
Yeah, no, right.
And we have that much power to uplift or cut through another being by one word.
Yeah.
And so I started changing my use of language.
Can I ask you about this a minute? Because I know when I hear you talk about it, and sometimes my listeners have said to me, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to skip the next break, Benny. We're just going to keep rolling here, Bolivia. I got an email. Actually, I got an email and like a, what do we call it, Benny, snail mail? Like a letter, like with the stamp. I'm sorry.
Yeah, snail mail.
What do we even call it?
It's
like
our
mail.
Postal service.
Postal service. I got mail. I get mail from the our fabulous audience. And one of the things that was brought to light was it was credible because people are sharing their stories. And they said, look, what we love about the people, the hosts, Gina, you, they show up and they're not afraid to be vulnerable. They're not afraid to talk their stories. They're not afraid then to teach from that experience. And, you know, this beautiful thing you just shared, this heart opening, I had to respond to an email yesterday, and I must have channeled you.
Yeah.
It was the kind of email that you get, but my response, because I always prepare for the show, so I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at the stuff here. And whatever came out of me in that email, and I read it to Linda, and I read it to Jessica. And Jessica's comment to me was, you have to send this to the whole team. You see, I want to ask you about the idea of purification of body, mind, the alchemy of it. But I want to talk with you about it the way you teach other people. You teach us that we are in a material world. That's okay. You were, what did you say, law enforcement?
Yes.
Once upon a time, you're law enforcement.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, I sold hot dogs. But let's talk about how the physical, from your perspective, ignites that divine energy. And then what we must learn, hopefully we have a mentor like you, is how heart opening allows us to expand, right, and grow. And thank you for that Carolyn Mace paraphrase. But isn't this really what the discovery was for you when you're talking about your own change?
Yes. Yeah, it's a huge component. When I look back on my, before I really understood what I know today, it all started with connecting with the earth more.
Mm.
With that power of that drumbeat, connecting with Mother Earth and what we're connected to. And that alone, being in that vibration, that drum, boom, 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 and like feeling that synchronicity, like, oh yeah, I walk this earth. I can be barefoot on it. Let me connect to it deeper so I can connect to myself deeper. Because one of the main things for me while I was in law enforcement in a non-sworn position was to maintain my own wellness. I did not want to lose myself to the darker side of life's experiences. And I had to be willing to walk my own path and sometimes be in silence with what I was going through because I was surrounded at the time other people that would not necessarily be able to hold that transformation, that unseen force, the esoteric piece of the transformation and individual healing that can happen. So it's very interesting to walk this line, but without that power of the drum circle, I was learning how to work with the four directions and that medicine wheel and recognizing I'm in a place of the East, a new beginning, bringing in that power of the eagle and that wisdom and higher sight. And even today, as I work with these directions, they expand more and more. And recognizing, wow, for me to be in the East, I'm also in the West and letting go of how I used to be. My parts of myself that no longer fit in what I want to become right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that means my judgments of others, of myself, I had to be mindful. And what can I put in place to fill my mind as I was retraining my mind? And so mantra, I started using mantra. And one of the most powerful mantras, well, they're all powerful. They're most oftentimes in, when I read Sanskrit, like Om Mani Padme Om. Even right now, I feel the vibration in me.
Right.
And that helps transform the impurities of our mind, our body, our soul. So we can come into a purer state and connect with that higher self.
Yeah.
And look, it was an evolution.
It is an evolution. And it's also, may I? A revolution. You know, I said at the top of the hour 22 times I'm calling my senator, but I didn't tell you why. You know, we're living in some interesting times, but those of us that are in business, I believe we are the forgotten. I'm not talking about a Fortune 100 company that has multi-million billion dollars, but all the small businesses that are the backbone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this little awakening, the light that was here, because what I was discovering is that while there are many things going on in the world, we are the forgotten. And I started to write about it, and I started to post about it, and to be honest with you, messages when you're reaching out to your government, they are lost on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to find another way. And one of our fabulous listeners, audience, watchers, viewers, emailed me. She heard me talk about it on one of my other shows. And she said, Pat, the way you speak from the heart, you should create a message. And so I looked at that. But as I was prepping for today's show, it has to be in your words. It has to be love expanding. Can you talk about that? While the situation makes me a little bit like my, I think that's where I cut my hair. Betty will tell you, anytime I'm in a major transformation change, I will take that electric, what do you call it, shaver thing, and I will go at it. And this morning I stopped short of doing the whole head. I don't know why I do that. I think it's like some ancient thing. But can you talk about the power and the energy of love, even if we're in the face of an enemy, even if we're in the face of something disastrous?
Mm.
Can you talk about that? Because that is that is the thing you help people get to, and you've gotten to in your life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to comment real quick on that metaphor of cutting the hair.
I don't know what to make of it. I just know I've done it. I do it. Whenever I have a thing in my life, I just do it.
It's symbolic that you're done potentially with whatever it is. And you're like, off comes the old and here comes the new. And a Lakota teacher, healer, he once said, he's like, oh, yeah, if there's a relationship and they broke up, his first thing he asks is, he's all, did your lady cut her hair or change her hair? If she changed her hair, it's done. You're out. And I laugh, I'm all, and it's so true. It's like this next stage or rite of passage. But coming back to this power of the heart opening, when you're also ready for battle, that's a preparation in itself too. Like you're taking that buzzer and you're like preparing for that next stage. But when you walk through that with the path of heart and open and openness even to your enemy, because something got triggered in you, deep inside you, to have to go to a different battle. But I feel it's also really important to recognize ourselves in that enemy, because it's not just the external war, it's that inner war that all of us have. Even a Buddhist has that internal war in them. They've just maybe further along in their practice where the conflict no longer lives because they found a place of peace inside. So that ability to still show love. I think one of the things that stand out to me right now is the war in the Ukraine. How can I still show love and compassion for Putin? Because there's something in him. And if we're all connected, and I believe we are, that means there's also that aspect in me that can go to war. But what is it in him that has to bring healing? What is it in the collective? Because that is that he is representing a collective as well, that duality. And I'm in this place where I'm coming to unity, that divine union within myself, that divine union with the higher self, that unseen force which we're all connected to in the universe. H.B. Blavatsky talks about it, and I love her definition of it. It's this universal ray that connects us to our higher self. We're all connected to that. She calls it Atma, the inseparable ray of the universe and oneself. It's the God above more than within us. And I feel where we're at in a stage and we're heading toward this transformation where it's no longer external from us. We are bringing in our higher self to fully embody that energy, those qualities within us. And for the pure energy to come in, it kind of circles back to, I got to expand that love. I got to expand that this is a natural process that the soul journeys back to. We're returning to the light.
You know, one of the things that I want to follow up with is how this is all embodied. And, you know, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Soul Inspired Reflections with Gina Libido Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. It really is humbling. And for more information about Gina, I want to make sure all of you know that you can go to soulinspiredreflections.com. Did I get that right, Gina?
You did.
Soulinspiredreflections.com. And you're going to find a lot of information how to work with her. Also, please go to the testimonials, because once you read what people say about what it's like, this is why we're doing shows like this, because we know we've never been here in our history before. You know, we know that on any given day, the unexpected can show up. But what Gina says and brings forward is we have the creative energy. We have it. We have these qualities. And I know one of the things that you do talk about is how to tell when your love is expanding, but also what happens to creative energy when that happens, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great question. And also, what happens when we don't act on that?
Oh,
you know, I think that's an important piece to for us not to forget. When we're not honoring that creativity inside us, it wants to be expressed. I know for me, I feel that contraction in my body. I feel squashed, right? I may stay in a job longer than I want to. And then all of a sudden, I'm adding to my own oppression. Right, because I'm not allowing myself to be expressed, or maybe it's just speaking out in a job that I like. Right, it doesn't have to be. It could be the simplest thing to open up this love and to feel comfortable and get to know that nothing in this world has any true authority over you and your heart and your soul. And that's that transition from of being more of a victim mindset or energy, because everything for me is now energy, and our mindset helps transition us into a place of power and be comfortable in our power and creativity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So bringing it to just a day-to-day component, how can I be in my power while at work? It doesn't matter my role, but I still have that power to speak. I still have that power to bring my wisdom to that role and to whatever it is I do, whether I'm the janitor or if I'm the chief of police. We're still people. We're still souls that chose a certain role. And to be able to do those roles with that open heart, with the ability to say, here's what I'm seeing. This is the information I have for you, or this doesn't work for me. Can I do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That ability to even ask and say your truth at the time is very empowering. And I encourage people to start small. Start with one choice, meaning if say your partner wants you to go to the store with them and you truly just are tired and you want to be home and rest, tell them that. Just say, I'd love to, but I'm going to stay home and rest because I just need to stay home. It's that small. They don't have to be huge decisions. That small decision is actually the biggest one you may be making. And it creates a new boundary for yourself, too.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I want to talk with you about when we come back is here we are in the world. Here we are. And I want to talk about the yellow flame.
Mm.
I don't think the yellow flame gets talked about enough. I know it does in Sanskrit, ancient Sanskrit, and especially people that really focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about this because we're living in a time now where that wisdom that is residing in us is hungry to come out. Use me. Learn from me. Gina, I want to take a short break. When we come back, what is this wisdom? When it taps you on the shoulder, how do you feel? What does it look like? And how do we get rid of the stigma that wisdom in our consciousness we think is only for the top 1% of the people that have maybe trekked out, that are maybe sitting on a mountaintop in Tibet? When we come back, Gina Libido is going to take us through all of that. You're going to find out how you can work with her and much more. Benny? Jacob, Olivia, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki Master and author Brett Bevel. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit BrettBevel.com.
In body, in power, in soul, activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ellie Effect with Allison's Life, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Are you curious about who the Holy Spirit is or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real? And even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level? Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com. Hey everybody, welcome back. Soul Inspired Reflections. This is Gina Libido Show, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart. Today, Gina, you're bringing to light the light that shines in our hearts. This is about humanity's mass awakening, right? Before we come back and we talk about wisdom, the yellow flame, Can you tell people a little bit about how they can work with you, how they can connect with you, and some of the things that you're available to help them with?
Absolutely. You can reach out to me by going through my website at soulinspired. That was my old one. Excuse me. Soulinspiredreflections.com. I work currently with people one-on-one and with group coaching. You can set up a discovery call. There's a link to that, and I'll be happy to talk with you further about how I can support you to embody and be in your body, in your power, and in your soul as you walk through your life.
Mm. I know we've touched upon a fact about why this is so important. I also want to talk about I know we're going to talk about the yellow flame now, and then ultimately we'll talk about the blue flame. But I think wisdom, the yellow flame, is one of the most misunderstood. For the general population, I do believe that we self-select and disqualify ourselves from having any. And I would love for you to talk about, you know, the evolution of wisdom and how timely it is for us to tap into it in the modern world we're living in today, right? What are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Well, number one, I'm like, you're totally on point. And it's interesting because that is one of the flames I spent the least amount of time on, although I do embody these components. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm so glad you brought that up, because here I am. We're all on this collective, like, love opening, blah, blah, blah. But without the mental body, it's out of balance. We need that mental wisdom, not from, like, I know everything in this book knowledge, but taking that knowledge and turning it into wisdom as you apply it through life experiences, as you're expanding your heart opening, you have to have the wisdom to go along with it. And one of the things that stand out to me the most is people are learning to use discernment, right? Because all of a sudden, what I've noticed, I'm like, wow, everyone's becoming a life coach, which I think is great. Because I realized one day, I'm like, oh, they're developing their higher qualities of listening, using discernment, and bringing in that wisdom, not my wisdom that I want to share with you, but to cultivate someone else's internal wisdom. What does their body telling them? What's the first thing their intuition is telling them? These are the things that are coming out to me that we've forgotten. We've squashed away. What does that mean for me? What's that initial hit? Bring that into wisdom. Should I go through that door right now, or is something telling me not to? Right? So this is where I start to look at the energetic pieces of my wisdom and that wisdom flame, and calling in that more of that Eastern tradition, like you mentioned, that Mahatma energy, that Buddha energy, that golden light qualities, because it is bringing in both that Christ-like energy of the heart, the cosmic heart, the cosmic Christ energies we're all connected to. And whatever word you want to use to use it is fine. I don't want to get us lost in semantics because sometimes we lose that message. It's all energy that's within all of us. We all carry these divine qualities. And then that Buddha energy that comes in, that people depict, comes in through the crown and that wisdom. Bringing in that mental body, and how do I walk through the world and share it, right? We're all in this place of now, like Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi. It's like that, share your knowledge.
Yeah.
It's time for you to share your knowledge. And now people are waking up. Everyone got really shooken up through the pandemic, which is beautiful. As challenging and so much stuff has got up, brought up for all of us, individually and collectively. But what I'm seeing, myself included, it's pushed me in a place, it's time for me to teach. It's time for me to share my wisdom and walk side by side with others and pave a way together and uplift others with the wisdom that's ignited in our heart. That no book can tell you how to access it, because it's someone else's journey. However, they can support you in igniting it. Right? So I don't want to poo-poo on the knowledge people bring through in their experiences, but it will ignite that wisdom within you. And you're like, oh, here it is here. How am I using that today? Yeah. Right? And you're talking about writing to your senator. how are you bringing in that wisdom and that open heart of compassion, that fire? They're happening together. So you use that power, your voice through writing and through your phone calls, that all these three blend together. And it's that wisdom that you'll be able to cut through the veils that they don't want to hear, right? Because a senator, they're only for so long our politicians can ignore the forgotten, right? Because they want to, not they particularly, but you can't control people if they have a voice and they know their power, right? So when you start to have all these people coming into their power, the wisdom of their body, the wisdom, like, and I'm talking about emotional, spiritual, mental, it all happens together. You can't stop anybody in their life. They just show up in it differently, from the mother to the student to the father, the grandparents. It doesn't mean you have to go wake up the whole world, but how you walk through it is with more mastery in your experiences, recognizing, and this is what it's become for me, recognizing that I am a soul in this physical body having experiences to connect me with my higher self and master what, remember, because we were all ascended once, but to remember what that is like to walk in self-mastery with my wisdom.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I want to talk about this for a minute in a lot of ways, because sometimes wisdom is not like, let's just talk about it for a minute in,
yeah,
in terms of our everyday lives. You know, you wake up one day and you go to school, and you, it doesn't matter what grade you're in, but you go to school and you know that school is very structured. It's like in kindergarten, this is what you do, first grade, whatever, mm-hmm, right? Then you go to higher education, it's still structured. But the higher you go, you get to a point where it's less structured. And I remember this clearly, that along the way, I had some teachers in many, many of those grades. It doesn't matter if it's a sixth grade, junior, whatever. I've had many teachers that tapped into the wisdom part.
Mm-hmm.
They were the out-of-the-box people.
Yeah.
Amy Sarrow saved my life. I mean, she is the reason that I graduated high school. Amy Sarrow. Fantastic teacher. I'll never forget her pulling me off into a small room and looking me in the eye and saying, I know what's happening with you. I know you, I know you are different. I mean, what? Yeah. Hello? Right? She didn't even have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Saved my life. But there is this idea that knowledge, and you have to have knowledge to get through these schools and whatever you're doing, the knowledge and wisdom are the same. And I want to just, I want to talk about this for a minute, because we talk about wisdom in many ways. And by the way, our pop culture now has some perfect examples of wisdom, really perfect. I mean, one of the most pop culture-y examples of wisdom was in the first, the original Matrix movie. You know, where the young child is talking to Neo as Neo's trying to bend the spoon, and you're watching this. You know how many people talked about this one soundbite? And you have this child who is bending the spoon like what looks like with his mind, and Neo's like, how do you do it? And the child says, you're trying to bend the spoon. But in reality, there is no spoon. See, that's the difference. One metaphor is there is a spoon and I'm going to figure out how to bend it. The other one is there's an insight that goes beyond what you might see.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the key, I believe, and don't you, to how we get from the day, the year we are right now to 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, right? What do you think?
I think you're totally on point with that. It reminds me of Native American traditions. This world is a world of form and illusion, and we create that reality. And then looking at the spoon, too, I'm just like, you become the spoon because you're no different than the spoon. Because it, too, is energy. And it's been created into a denser structure. We're just particles packed together in a denser structure. And once it's a practice, right? Because it's a power. I'm reminded of one of my mentors, Jose Stevens. I studied with my first studies in shamanism. And he's like, that's bids for power. Everything's a bid for power. But then I realize it's a power within ourselves. But how can we have this physical experience as a soul without a body to have, like, feel, taste, touch, right? And then to have the experience of the boy that, you know, is like, oh, it's not really there. That skin, it truly doesn't exist. And it's true. Like, and these are some things where people may think I'm nuts, but go ahead. It's okay. You don't have to agree with everything I say or my experiences, and I don't need to prove them to you. But I remember sitting in meditation, and we were working in, you know, those copper pyramids you could sit in, and it amplifies energy and whatnot. And I remember my mentor, Tracy, on the other side, and I'm sat across from all these other people, and there are times when we would hold space for each other, and each person would go into with their intention and purpose into the copper pyramid. And I'm watching this oscillate so fast that it looks like it's sitting still. Then all of a sudden, my eyes are watching everybody float in and out of the floor because there was no floor. We had the vibration moving so high, and we were getting so high that the form of the floor no longer, it was there, like I could still walk on it, but we were all floating in and out. And most people who have not had that experience would be like, you're crazy, what were you on? And I'm all, nothing. I'm on like higher vibration frequencies in a group together that amplifies it. And the wisdom that comes through those channelings when we open ourselves up and connect to our higher self, you're able to see through the illusions. You can see through the lies, I'll say, of other people. And now we're seeing it through our governments, right?
On a larger scale. All of our institutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a necessary process to ascension of the planet. And so that's part of what I do. It's not only the ascension of my individual self as a light worker and working with these qualities.
Mm-hmm.
How does me mastering this also support the ascension of the planet and the universe, which we're all connected to?
Yeah.
And that's only the little bits I know.
Well, and, you know, part of this now leads into the conversation, which I think is so cool because we've already been talking about it, and that is mastering the blue flame. And when we think about the blue flame, we're thinking about the power of word. You know, we really are. We're talking about the will of God, the will of power. We're talking about breath. We're talking about vibration, right? I mean, let's just take a moment because everything we've just talked about, especially with the reference to, you know, that clip from The Matrix, is so neurolinguistic, right? It was such a moment where those of us that are watching this that have a little bit of information about things were like, oh, I see what's going on there. But this last piece about mindfulness and self-reflection, this is so critical. It is the thing that stops any one of us from reacting to something, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to enacting. You know, it doesn't matter if you're crazy about the gas prices or something happens and you drop a glass on the floor in your own home, you know, there is a moment that that blue flame will have an opportunity to either show up or show out. What have you discovered about the power of the blue flame?
The more I'm connecting to God, the more mindful I need to be. Because also, as we move, I say we, like those that are opening up and moving into a higher frequencies and vibrations, some are their consciousness is evolving, or oftentimes people are calling it five-dimensional consciousness. The things that manifest in your life happen faster. Our sense of time is completely different. Carolyn Mace calls it, I think she says Chronos to, so she uses two terms, but she's like, we're going back to a vertical timeline from being stuck in our past and suffering, which is optional. You no longer have to suffer, and we're moving into our alignment with Source and God, where there was a time you'd see angels all the day, any day. It was common to talk about. I'd talk to an angel. And now people talk to angels, but it's still a little taboo, but it's resurfacing, right?
Yeah.
And any other guides. But this power of our words also goes into our power of our thoughts. So if I'm thinking something, it can manifest just as fast as when I bring the power of my word in. So it's just, if I'm going to speak poorly about something and judgment, I'm going to feel that reverberation a lot sooner now than I did, say, 5 or 6 years ago.
Now, let me just comment on this, because here's the deal. About, I don't even know how many years ago, like 2010, 2011 was the first time I heard of a mainstream organization asking. I think it was CBS. Mm-hmm. And they went out and they asked people, you know, do you believe in angels? So back then, 2010 or 11, I'm not 100% sure, 8 out of 10 Americans believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm almost, and so that was back then. I'm thinking about where we are today with this, right? And so what happens are questions that have evolved around this. It's not even the question, do you believe in angels anymore? But the latest poll that was done, or the latest question that was asked, in, I think it was January, wasn't even, do you believe in angels? The question was, do you believe there are angels among us? Can you see the evolution in the question?
Yeah.
And so when you see the evolution in the question, this has got to be the blue flame operating, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Why not? They all exist at the same time. So if I'm operating from that blue flame, I'm still operating through that love and wisdom flame too. And the key is to work with them all at the same time so they're operating in balance and in harmony, right? There was a time when I would operate all heart, right? And then I'm just, and my emotions would be everywhere. But I was lacking the wisdom, right? Maybe I was speaking too much or out of turn, or what I would say, because my blue flame of power and speech, I didn't master that yet. And so they weren't matching up, so it would create some sort of discord in perhaps how I was expressing love, right? And then now it's more like, oh, I like love everything. Even the darkest things I've experienced now, I can speak to them in a way that is not speaking poorly of another person or even the experience itself,
right?
Because now, okay, I'm recognizing, oh, that soul showed up for me. And I also chose to participate in, once I have a choice, once I make a choice, I'm going to also receive the consequences of that choice. Or it's that every action has a equal and opposite reaction, right? That ripple is going to be sent out, and I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to make a choice of betrayal, betraying myself, and who else is it going to impact? I'm going to feel that.
Yeah.
And I have felt that. And then am I going to make an alternate choice where I'm going to honor myself and my intuition, right? Because that act of betrayal that I made, I didn't honor my intuition. I got the hit. I said no. And then I turned around and said yes. But then at the times when I listened to my intuition, I don't have the same discomfort. It, like the experiences come with more ease, less conflict, and sometimes even more confirmation of like, oh yeah, I just avoided all this discord because I made a choice and I spoke saying, no, this is not the right choice for me. Like I recently left a position where I offered body work temporarily, as you know, and I'm like, nope, this isn't going to work. I worked there 9 days. I didn't have to honor this old way of like 2 weeks notice. Right? That's a really old way of operating. Oh, you got to give me 2 weeks notice. No, I don't. You're not going to give me 2 weeks notice if you're firing me or laying me off.
Yeah.
And it's not a tick for tat thing.
No, it's a new guideline.
But
it's not.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's not.
Like,
it's not. I work at will in both directions. It's funny, work at will. And here we're talking about the will of God, our power of my voice, power of your voice. And so I listened to that gut instinct, that intuition, that wisdom coming through my body. And I go, okay, sat with it, bringing it back to the self-reflection, because that's huge, and the art of doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And sat with it with myself. I went for a walk because that's where I find my stillness. Interesting. I find my stillness in the movement of walking. But I'm out in nature and I get these other little hits.
I think that's actually your dog is affirming it. I mean, what I love about our animal friends is the following. It doesn't matter. I can't tell you how many shows I've done where people have said, I swore I put the cat out, and the next thing I know, the cat is jumping all over the monitor. Because our animal friends have a sensitivity. They are not guarded. They are not shielded from by all, you know, they don't think, oh, my God, I had such a rough childhood. I don't think I'm going to bark because I think it's in. No. They are naturally in the zone of who they are. But one of the things I love about this blue flame is it teaches us the power of our breath. It teaches us the power of our pause. And I don't mean dog pause. I mean the power of hitting the pause button. It teaches us the power to have a self-reflection nanosecond. Because what we do, what we say, how we do it, and how we say it, we'll either create loving relationships or not. Tina, I got to thank you for today. Thank you so much for everything. Again, let's let folks know how they can find out more about you. And I would love to know your personal message for today.
Yeah, feel free to reach out at soulinspiredreflections.com. Schedule a one-on-one free coaching session or to find out more, really a discovery piece on how I can support you stay in your body, in your power, and in your soul. And my words of inspiration for today, keep your heart open even at the times when you are at the depths of your challenges.
Mm.
That is the when you need it the most, and have faith in yourself, your intuition, and trust that the clarity will come to you and persevere.
And I just want to say to everybody, when you go to visit with Tina, please take a look at the many things she does to help all of you out there acknowledge and rise up in the way we've talked about today and really enable and allow your heart to shine.
Thank you for listening to Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart with me, your host, Gina Lobito. Join me again every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue to activate the spirit within you and trust your inner guidance. Learn about what it means to embody and how you can exist in transcendent service to ascension of life, the planet, and the universe. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We have northbound, southbound traffic is actually alternating at Highway 9 at Strand Road around Milepost 75 due to a collision. Again, that's northbound, southbound traffic on Highway 9 is alternating at Strand Road. Also, 405 northbound at the on-ramp to State Route 518 and the I-5. Right there at the collector distributor, another collision partially blocking the ramp. Good thing, though, State Patrol and its response team have all arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that collision. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the pushy broad from the Bronx, Ellen Stewart of Recovery Recharged. Topic for the show, exploring sex addiction with special guest Justin Wolf.
NBC News Radio, I'm Julie Ryan. A man who reportedly traveled cross-country to kill Justice Brett Kavanaugh is under arrest after being found with weapons near his home. The Supreme Court confirmed the man's arrest. NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams has more details.
He was armed with a gun, a knife, and pepper spray and told authorities that he was there to kill the justice.
He's reportedly from California and arrived by taxi. This comes as Kavanaugh's home was the site of protests after a draft of the court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade leaked last month. Some of those affected by recent deadly mass shootings are telling their stories. During a House hearing, 11-year-old Mia Cirillo said she no longer feels safe at school. She talked about surviving the shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, as other students were dying all around her.
I thought he was going to come back to the room, so I grabbed the blood and put it all over me.
She says she no longer wants to go back to school because she fears it'll happen again. President Biden will head overseas later this month for two big events. He'll go to southern Germany on June 25th for the G7 Leaders Summit. Biden will follow that up with a trip to Spain on June 28th for the NATO Summit. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing members of Parliament for the first time since surviving a confidence vote. Dame Angela Eagle of the Labour Party addressed Johnson directly.
Can the Prime Minister explain if 148 of his own backbenchers don't trust him, why on earth should the country?
Johnson got up and admitted he has picked up some enemies during his political career. There will be no shareholder meeting on Friday for Spirit Airlines. This is because the carrier is looking to continue talks with two airlines looking to buy it. JetBlue recently upped its offer, even though it was announced back in February that Frontier Airlines had a deal to merge with Spirit. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
In the wee hours of the night, when everyone else is fast asleep, you're the one on third shift, burning the midnight oil. When a part fails and everything comes to a grinding halt, regardless of what the clock on the wall says, you leap into action. Grainger is with you and all the ones who get it done. With 24/7 customer support by phone or click to chat. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, partly sunny skies to start the day out. However, a few more clouds will roll back in later this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 53. For Thursday, Friday, and for Saturday, more clouds and rain showers expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 60s and low temperatures in the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host, Dr. Pat. How you doing, Doc?
I'm really excited about this show today. You know, I think every day we're learning more and more and more about the redefinition of addiction to match the current times we're living in.
Exactly.
And it is about time, right, don't you think, that we're starting to include the many or multifaceted aspects of addiction? Because once upon a time it meant one or two things. But now, like, there's a whole new world. There's a whole new set of things, right? And that's what you're bringing today. We have a great guest, right?
That's exactly right. And one of the reasons why I put this show together with your help and with your blessing is that we're not only talking about substance misuse, alcohol and drugs, but we've brought together so many guests over the course of these almost 3 years that handle process addictions. And what we mean by process addictions are addictions that don't involve specifically substance misuse. And this is one of the addictions that we're going to address today, and we're going to answer the hard questions and talk about a topic that lots of people are concerned with. So, of course, as usual, this show brings in the experts, and we have one today, and I can't wait for both of us to explore this with him, Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
So the name of this episode is Exploring Sex Addiction with Justin Wolf, who is a licensed clinical professional counselor. Justin is born and raised in Naperville, Illinois, and the director of clinical services at Footprints to Recovery in Chicago. And I have used them before with quite a few guests. Justin has worked in the behavioral health field for over a decade, primarily focusing on personal and relationship damage caused by substance use and process addictions such as gambling and sex addiction. And sex addiction is exactly where we're going to focus on today. What I like about Justin and what he said to me in his bio is that he likes being in a position to hear individual stories and help them reclaim their lives and inspire feelings of hope at a time when they feel lost. And in today's world, we are really sometimes feeling very, very lost. So it is my pleasure on Recovery Recharge to bring Justin Wolf to the table. How are you, Justin? Nice to hear from you.
Doing great. And thank you both for having me join you here and talk about this topic that, I mean, just kind of seems to be in the news. And we're hearing a lot more about it with our times today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Appreciate you taking time to have me here.
Yeah. All right. Let's start from the beginning. Those of us that are not really sure and don't really know, can you put a definition on what sex addiction actually is?
So what sex addiction is kind of contrary to the popular belief. Because when you ask like the general population or just somebody on the street, like, oh, what's sex addiction? I don't know. Sounds fun. Sign me up. It's very much not that. And we're looking at a repetitive pattern of using sexual fantasy and behaviors to escape, to self-soothe, to what a lot of people will actually term it and describe it as, I'm not trying to feel good, I'm trying to feel less. And so they escape into these fantasies such as masturbation, cyber sex, random, like multiple affairs going on simultaneously. And these tend to be very much of what the lifestyle is conveyed around is sex is driving my behavior, the way I present myself, and the way I view other people, as well as the way I view myself.
That's very interesting. Could you tell us, give us an idea of when possibly we can see the signs of sex addiction in someone, how early this may begin, and what we're looking for?
So in my experience, when I'm kind of working with somebody who's identifying sexual addiction being a primary problem for them, we're usually looking at the roots of this being entrenched in childhood. And what we're looking at there is attachment issues, difficulty with feeling connected to other people. So the mind goes, oh, my God, reality is really hard. This is really tough right now. I'm going to create this fantasy world that I'll feel a little bit more safe and secure in. So we're looking at people who are getting introduced into pornography, and I think the most recent statistic I saw is that the average age of introduction into pornography is 11 years old, and that's due to just the easy access that we're seeing in the Internet nowadays.
Dr. Pat, I always think that it's so parallels substance misuse in the fact that kids start from an early age and they're looking to escape things.
Yeah.
Don't you think there's a direct correlation?
I think there are a couple things that I really want to jump in on and really want to hear from both y'all on. Is let me just date myself for a minute. I want to go back in time and what a struggle it's been for women to own their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back I read the other day, Gloria Steinem's 88 years old, and I remember standing right next to her in Bella Abzug and just going down there to Atlantic City, taking that bra off and just putting that bra out right there in that fire, right? And I don't want to confuse one's journey to embrace who they are sexually with our topic today. So that's a clarification for me, because there is a lot of confusion around it. And in relationships, what this show is not about, you will hear comments from one partner or the other. And they will throw that addiction word around. And to be honest with you, that is just not what's going on. It is like somebody is saying to the other person, hello, sex once a year just is not working for me. Mm-hmm. That's why your definition was really important.
Yeah.
Okay. The other part of this is to really think about the word addiction. You can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You are powerless. You will risk your job and get on your business computer. Hello, you out there.
Yeah.
Put it down now. Stop. You will get on that corporate computer. Think, right?
Yeah,
right,
true.
Justin? You're going to get on your corporate.
No, because you're right, but it's so true, because guess what ends up happening is I'm using my work computer. I've been reprimanded, and I've heard this numerous people. They've caught me. They check my browser history, but you know what? That's what denial is, right? It's not a big deal. It's fine. I'm just a guy. Like, that's why I hear from guys, right? Like, I'm just a guy. It's not hurting anybody. But I'm using and I'm watching excessive amounts of pornography while I'm on the job for hours at a time. And I actually worked with somebody who was driving in the car watching porn because he liked the thrill it created.
Oh, I know. I know.
The thrill of watching porn and almost getting killed while he's driving,
yeah.
You mean? The
yeah.
High stakes.
And
I could live or die with this orgasm situation. Is
oh,
what
my
to me.
God. It, yeah. And then I want you to comment on something else.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time on debate panels, honestly more than I can imagine, when the books 50 Shades of Grey came out and then the movie. And the conversation was around addiction. And I said, no. I said, folks, please, you can't talk about it that way until you understand what his journey was and what he was suffering from. So that's number one.
Yeah.
But let's talk to people. You know, there are people that have enormous sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe one of us. It doesn't matter. But let us not confuse it, and let us try to be kind and respectful to our partners, our spouses, our family members. When you put the addiction tag on somebody, you better understand what you're saying to them, right? Okay, Ellen, right? And this
Absolutely.
Is one of these areas that Justin is going to get us really super clear about, because that is not okay.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between, say, addiction and hypersexuality and those feelings of, okay, I'm kind of into my daily porn, but I'm not letting it interfere with my life. There is a line. Explain it to us, Justin.
No, and I think that's the part where you get a lot of people, just like with alcohol, just like with other substances, right, they can use it, put it down, and not have a problem with it. But yet if I have that predisposition and my mind knows, like, I've had those early attachment wounds or I've experienced trauma, or I got the genetic predisposition because I look up and down the family tree and I see addiction just lining each branch, then I know I'm at an increased risk to form this really unhealthy attachment to pornography as a way to kind of self-soothe. And I think that's the right, when we're talking about hypersexuality, and we're really kind of differentiating between, is this a compulsion, right? We're kind of looking at that compulsive component of it, where we're saying, this is going to the top of the food chain. This is what is driving my behavior. This is what my focus is at. Whereas somebody who's like, no, I'm going to talk to my wife about, you know, my birthday's in 6 months. I can't wait that long. I'm going to try and push up the envelope. Because when we're talking about sex addiction, the orgasm is actually what stops it. That's where it ends. So it's all about the build-up, the lead-up,
yeah.
the rituals that are engaged in prior to. because once that orgasm hits, then we fall back into that other cycle of, now I have guilt, I have shame,
yeah,
and I'm experiencing the consequences of that.
Yeah. Can I ask you both a question? Because this has been an age-old battle. This is a banter battle back and forth between anybody that's any field of anything around addiction and psychotherapy or any version of any of that, including Carl Jung stuff. And it is this idea of sexual fantasies. We went through a period of time where we had Y'all remember? Well, not you, Justin. Y'all remember. Maybe not even you, Ellen. But there was a time.
I'm right there with you, girl. I remember everything you remember.
I'm trying to remember, like, the first time I heard it. I think it was, like, at a rally with Gloria or somebody. I don't know.
I was in that crowd. I can tell you right now.
You were in that crowd.
My bra went, too. Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when you heard that term, you didn't really know what it meant, but you knew that you were having them. You see, it's like dreaming about Frankenstein, right? You know you're dreaming about it, but you don't really know the meaning of it. Is it okay? Is it not? But can you bring us up to speed with the conversation about that? Because I'll tell you what, I watched the MTV, do I admit this, Benny? I watch the MTV Movie Awards every year. I've been watching them since they first came out. And I waited for the end. I wanted to see what television show would win the top nod. Now, this show won a bunch of awards throughout the night, but I waited. I waited to see, are they going to relate to this show? Because if this show got the award, it would literally and iconically represent every form of addiction, every form of sexual fantasy, every form of issues in the LGBTQ community, every form of drugs on the street, every form that young people are going through now that nobody wants to talk about. And it won. It's Euphoria.
Yeah.
And there's so much in that show about sexual fantasy. And you can see when the line gets crossed. Can you really talk to this? Because Dr. Ruth made a career on telling people it is okay in her. Yes. Where do we draw the line? Where does the line get crossed?
Right. I think that's the part when we look at sex addiction and we're saying, here's the line. We're looking at that preoccupation. We're looking at this is just ruminating in my mind, feeding it, and I'm just kind of fixated on that. And it's pulling me away from all these responsibilities I have in my everyday. It's affecting my relationships. It's affecting the way I interact and relate and view other people, because now I'm going to start viewing people as sexual objects. Or I'm going to look and say, how do I present myself in the most sexual light that I can? Because it's going to influence what I wear to the gym. It's going to influence where I go to dinner. It's going to influence the car that I drive. Like, it kind of gets factored in where it's, I'm saying everything is all directed at feeding this. And what you're kind of like highlighting and identifying there is what's really kind of known and referred to as like the trance. We're talking about this trance-like state where we're kind of like, this is where my mind's going. And I'm stuck here. It's pulling me in. And it's hard to kind of pull myself out without then kind of going to the next stage of engaging in my rituals.
Yeah.
It's almost the same way we go through when we get high, right? If we're active in our addiction, we get that sense of being in a trance and everything is just preoccupied with that buzz, with that high state. When Dr. Ruth came out, the best thing that I loved about that was the fact that we were able to talk about it. Sex in general, just mentioning the sex word was the biggest deal. You said sex on TV, you know, I mean, that was just impossible. Nobody did those things. I know, Justin is like, you know, he doesn't understand.
You're like,
what
would I have Dr. Rose?
But going to that, Justin, those are very big points. And I know that we have made a list together of some of the particular signs of sex addiction.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to name some of them, and I want you to name some more. You were talking about obsessive sexual thoughts and spending excessive time on sex. I mean, just thinking about it all the time, being preoccupied with it, to the exclusion of all other activities. And you had mentioned that, kind of gearing your day around everything sexual. What else would be signs of sex addiction?
You know, and I think I just want to kind of piggyback off what you just said there, because I think it's important to really kind of give a picture in terms of like the scope and the magnitude of just how much time this consumes. So when they did a study and they kind of researched and they saw those that identified and met criteria for having a sexual addiction spent on average about 11 to 12 hours looking at internet porn. And
A day? And, oh, my goodness.
And, I mean, it is profound, the fact that you look how much time and commitment and focus that takes in terms of pulling people away, right? And you look at sex addiction being very similar and consistent with that of just other substance use disorders or behavioral addictions. When we talk about a loss of control over the behavior, yeah, over the impulses, over the urges, you look at the negative experiences that people experience as a, yeah, result of, I lost my family. And this is a very common thing. My wife's talking to me about divorce, and I'm highlighting more about guys right now, and I know that because I've interacted much more with men than females because they'll present differently. And I think that's a really important thing to kind of keep in mind when we're looking about this, because you highlighted it earlier where we're talking about just the power of the word sex and the impact of our just communities and the ways that they view that. But what will end up happening, too, is you're going to see tolerance and escalation happen over time, where I'm going to start now kind of branching in these different avenues of pornography that maybe are crossing lines that violate my cultural, my religious, my personal values and beliefs, but I'm kind of going there. Or maybe I'm now starting to venture into some other avenues that I haven't kind of gone down before. I might be going in cam girl and cam guys, and I might be going into the massage parlors. I might kind of buy the toys and the devices. I might kind of all go down this road that's different.
I just got to comment on the toys and devices because I just want to make a statement.
Go
for it. We're talking about the excessive nature of this, and especially for women. You know, the greatest revolution and freedom aspect was when women gave themselves the right to do their own version of what sexual pleasure was, and hence the toy industry. But one of the things you said, I want to get to this, Ellen, because it's the first step. Whether it's Sex Anonymous, it doesn't matter what it is, but in your world, Justin, in the work you do with people, there's a second component, that our lives have become unmanageable. And we need to talk about that for a minute. Because if you are like on the deal like 10 hours a day, hello, your life is unmanageable. If you're doing stuff at work, like that is like a crazy town. Your life is unmanageable. If you cannot sit down and eat dinner because somehow you cannot wait to finish dinner, ignore your entire family, sneak to the bathroom and get on your phone, what is that, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, you're just nailing it, right? We're talking about like this, just we're existing in fantasy. I'm existing in this fantasy world. I'm disconnected, and I'm not really fully present. And I've kind of entered my own trance in terms of, I've heard it from numerous people where it's like, I'm at Thanksgiving dinner, and all I'm thinking about is sneaking off and shooting a text and seeing who I can meet up with and where we can go.
Yeah.
And I'm not really existing and present here. I mean, that's the power of it. When we're talking about addiction, we're talking about denial and gaslighting, where it's like, hey, guess what ends up happening? My phone just keeps dying. I don't know. I just have very – AT&T is just a terrible provider. I don't know why I just keep cutting out. Like, but these are very common things. Or guess what? I have to go on a business trip for 3 days, and there's no cell reception there. It's the length and the extent of the denial and the gaslighting that takes place, that occurs to keep this alive and going.
And that's if everything is all legal, okay? Because when you go into some of the more prevalent signs of severe sex addiction, you're talking about stalking, rape, child molestation, sexual offenders. I mean, the criminal activities as to where this can go that could be detrimental to one's life and health, I mean, for sure. So that's much more serious, but certainly this is the pathway. It can lead to this pathway, just like drugs and alcohol can lead to, what do we say in the runes? Jails, institutions, and death, right? That's what we say.
Yeah, we don't want to visit that today.
I wanted to ask you something, Pat. Do you think that sex addiction is more prevalent in men than in women? Before we ask the expert, what do you think, Dr. Pat?
Do I think so?
Yes.
Oh, there's no question in my mind about it. And I'm not addressing it from, let me just say, I'm not addressing this casually. I'm addressing it culturally, and I'm dressing it from a cultural and behavioral perspective, because I don't even want to talk about women. First of all, we basically grew up in cultures that are like Handmaid's Tale, right? I mean, we have changed now, but even now, when a teenager walks out of the house for the first time and has got that short skirt on, right, hello, who is the first one to say, no, you're not?
Dad.
Is it the mom or the dad?
It's dad.
Right.
Dad's
why?
The first person to say you're not.
Why, though? Why? But
yeah,
let's get underneath
everybody
that.
Out there is like, dad, what is it, 16 years old? That's
but
why.
Dad may be like that now.
Oh,
and
you're
so
right.
I'm not saying this for all dads. But it's not really, for me, it's not a problem. And let me explain what I mean, Justin. And then I want you to talk about it because, at Footprints to Recover, you cover everything. You cover things. But here's what I want to say. There's the socialization that enable men. This is a generalization. It's not everybody. But there is the socialization that enable men to feel comfortable with their body. Hello. What if we put open urinals in the ladies' room? But there is this socialization from day one. Would you say, I can't speak to this, Justin. You're going to have to jump in here. I can only tell you about the research. There's a socialization in the world of men that they have an opportunity to either feel better about themselves or worse. It depends on what's going on in the urinal. But there's a socialization where you are basically forced in a public arena to not be provided a privacy. And most men that I've worked with will say, that is like no big deal. From day one, mm-hmm. My dad kept the door open. Like I'm learning how to pee, and my dad kept the door open. Women don't have that. And even if women did have that, it would come under public scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a mother on an island has a daughter that is fully unclothed, because I got to tell you, on some of the islands, they grow up not wearing clothes, and runs into the water, it's kind of ohana. Mm-hmm. You do that in a Bronx public pool, and they're going to lock you up. But my answer is based on our culturalization and socialization. I just want to talk about this country. However, when you go to other countries, I'm not as sure. I'm not as sure as of South America. I'm not as sure as Italy. But generally speaking, I think men have felt a sense of freedom. Now, I'm not equating that to addiction, so I just want to be clear. That's my 2 cents.
Justin, is sex addiction more prevalent in men? And does it come from a culture and societal thing?
Well, to answer your question, Dr. Pat, when you're talking about like the 16-year-old daughter wearing the short skirt, I'm like, oh my, I have a daughter, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's not going out in the short skirt.
Exactly.
Because, no, it's like spot on. It's like, wow, how'd you get in my head? The thought is, like, because I know how guys operate. We know where our minds go. And to kind of go piggyback off what you're saying, like in terms of like the social and the culture where guys who engage in sexual behaviors get viewed as, like from a young age, you're a stud, you're a ladies' man,
exactly,
you're a
right.
Don Juan. Whereas females who engage in sexual behaviors or are sexually acting out get called a slut, a
nymph. That's right.
Right? We kind of have these double standards for our society. So to kind of get back to Ellen, your question, like, is sex addiction more prevalent in men? Yes. Yes, it is. Because men are much more willing to open and identify with it. Whereas for females, they will, or for the ladies, they will come and they will present with another issue. And a lot of times what you're looking at are relationship or attachment
yeah.
issues and problems that they're having.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's underneath it.
Yeah. I would love for men and women to meet in the middle. I really would. I mean, it has been, you know, the people that I do with, the work that I do with couples, you know, what I really watch is that's what I help them with. You know, how do you get to some place where you're going to move that way a little bit and you're going to move this way a little bit? Because honestly, calling me for an appointment because your husband cannot stop talking about how really amazing Charlize Theron looked in the Mad Max Furiosa when she shaved her head, and he's talking about it for a week. That is so. Come in, we'll talk about it.
I'm just looking at her kicking butt, okay?
And I'm saying, oh, my God, I agree with him. I'm ready to get a poster. I'm going to do my hair. But it comes from a base of insecurity and unknowing, and that's why you're here today, Justin. See, we have to have conversations that say, I bet you feel the same way your husband does about her. I just bet that.
There you go.
Okay, let's have that chat. Actually, we did have that chat. But you see, we have to allow for a greater understanding. But you nailed it, both of you.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back as we have much more on Exploring Sex Addiction with Justin Wolf. Stay with us.
To the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things aren't calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy, and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera, and Dr. Sharon Martin, and the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
To awaken your magic within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Drina Layton.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and with Drina Layton show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insights on how to turn things around and gain the Merit for Life mindset.
This is the Pushy Bird from the Bronx. You are on my show, Recovery Recharged, with my wonderful co-host, Dr. Pat. And we are talking about sex addiction with our expert, Justin Wolf. Justin, we have really gotten into it today, and I want to continue this discussion. Let's talk about some specific possible causes of sex addiction. And let's keep in mind that this can apply to both men and women.
So when we talk about where does this come from, because that's at the age old, everybody wants to know, where did this start? How, why am I presenting today with what I got? And what we go back and what we trace this back to very often are those childhood injuries, those injuries that occur early on in terms of attachment with to their caregivers. Maybe it was a parent who was always distant, and their mom and dad would always get into fights, and dad was drinking, and so mom was caretaking, or vice versa. Mom was drinking, and dad was trying to put out the fire so the kid didn't experience it. And there's the kid upstairs crying, not knowing what's going on in their household, so they escape. They create this fantasy world, and I think that's the thing where you look at the pattern is started at a young age, and it's not starting focusing fully on the sexual escape or the sexual fantasy. It's focusing on just creating a fantasy that is really derived at getting out of what the current reality is. And really kind of like the premise behind it is I'm trying to fix what I feel as opposed to I'm trying to heal what I feel, which are two very different approaches there.
That's very poignant. I'm trying to fix what I feel as opposed to I'm trying to heal what I feel. And also probably be nurtured by it in an unhealthy way, would you say?
Very much so. I mean, so I think that's where we kind of look at these insecure attachment styles where things are unpredictable. And this fantasy becomes the one predictable, stable force that the individual can turn to time and time again during stressful emotionally turbulent times.
Well, in Footprints to Recovery, one of the things that you do is make the connection very often between sex addiction and how it's linked to substance misuse. Can we talk a little bit about that and what you're seeing?
So what we tend to see, and there's one case in particular that kind of just jumps out to me. I've worked with her for quite some time. She's been in numerous programs. And she does she was a fantastic individual in terms of just acknowledging and noticing, hey, like, I might also not just struggle with substance use. I might also have a problem with my sexual addiction here. And what kind of brought that to the awareness was looking at the early attachment style that she didn't have. She came into this world, and she wasn't brought up by her birth parents and didn't know who her birth parents really were until she was older. And then at the same time, she felt an emotional disconnect from the people who adopted her. And then she goes into a social setting and doesn't really connect, but knows that when she goes home from school, like the one vivid memory is, I went home and that physical contact I got from mom, where she would hug me and say, welcome home, I love you, made me feel so good and so taken care of that. As she got older and struggled socially, she learned as people mature and she got pressured into engaging in sex with this young man who then tended to exploit her, and she learned very quickly how to escape into her own fantasy. And I think that's the part of when we look at what a foundation is, we'll often find these early experiences of abuse and exploitation that you look at the coping skills, the way that she said, hey, I got to take care of myself. So every time that she was no longer actively using, she'd have these periods where she was then sexually acting out. And she had a list of individuals she would go back, she would contact, and this is no different than anybody else that I've interacted with that has sex addiction. Like, I know who I'm calling. Here's my old flame. Here's my old coworker. Yeah. Like, here's the same prostitute that I've used numerous times. I'm going to go eat at the Chinese restaurant because guess what? She works across the street. But I just happen to be in the neighborhood. It's ironic, right?
Wow, that's really something. And I know that you do a lot of work in this arena, and you really do connect it because you work in substance abuse and sex addiction. Can you tell our audience where we can find you or where we can get help in this area?
Yeah. So we have our company website. It's Alia Health Group. So there's a number of facilities. I believe we have 13 facilities that are kind of spread throughout the country at this time. And Footprints to Recovery itself, where I'm stationed out of, is in Elgin, Illinois. And so we offer both, we have a residential setting. We have a sober living attached to us. Or I'm sorry, a recovery home attached to us, much different than a sober living, because it has 24-hour support on staff.
Wow.
Through all hours, right? To kind of look at, because when you look at a lot of people who's like, hey, I let go of my relationship to using, I feel really uncomfortable. I feel like there's a hole missing now inside of me. I'm going to look at that other person now to form it. and or to fill it, I'm sorry. And I'm going to form this really unhealthy attachment. And I think people do that early on because they're searching for intimacy, but what they're really mistaking that with is intensity. It's that intensity of what they're experiencing early on that gets mistaken as intimacy, and they keep chasing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to just, I want to drop something in. It's really not for this show, but I want to drop it in. We're talking in generalities today to represent, you know, the majority of the population or the majority of situations we're aware of. I do want to address this, that when you are a young person and you are in the journey of your own sexual identity and you are not sure of that, there will be times when you might do some things that seem like what we're talking about, but it's actually not. It's you figuring out that I'm a gay woman. I'm a gay young teenager. I'm a gay young man. I'm a young transgender person. And there is a separate exploration for that that may sound like this. And I say this only because parents, they take a look at that and they want to put it into a whole different category that is not correct. That journey of a young person or any person for that matter that is in the process of saying, who am I really? Who do I love really? That is a whole different conversation. So please don't put it in this one. I just want to make that little, what is that called? The little disclaimer caveat right there. That's also in euphoria. But one of the things that I want to really get back to is that I want to ask you this, Justin, and thank you, Ellen, for this. Look. In addiction recovery, alcohol and drugs, if you're watching your friend or family member, they cannot stay sober. They cannot show up clean. They got white powder on their nose at Thanksgiving. There's a point by which you say, I've got to do something. In some cases, it's easier because the behavior appears to be more unmanageable, more harmful, and more out of control. That's the insidious nature of sex addiction. It doesn't appear to be that way. And yet the reality, Justin, is... It is, right?
Yes. Very much so. Very much so. And I think you're bringing up this really big, important area to kind of discuss when we're talking about the betrayal that the partner experiences. Because that is so critical. We're not talking about, hey, you left me for this substance and you lapsed. Like, I thought you were working the program. I thought you were showing up in the room. So I was talking to your sponsor doing X, Y, and Z. No, you are... sleeping with other people and you're choosing somebody over me a lot of times. And now the most painful part of this isn't the fact that they're sleeping on, like sleeping with somebody else, sleeping on somebody, that'd be weird. But it's the fact
that does happen though.
Yeah, I know. I just fell asleep here. I don't know how that happened.
That's when you put sex addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction together.
I was just going to say the same thing. We've been there.
Right. Yeah. Like how I ended up on
this oh, my
time.
God. That's a whole nother show, right? I think I'm turning red.
No, but that's the most the most painful part is they go, look, I can't trust you at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the people around them go like, how'd you not know? I knew this for a while. Like, I thought you were aware of what they're doing. Because the partner doesn't want to see that.
Yeah.
The partner wants to, because they love them unconditionally, right? They love them. They want to believe that they are putting their best foot forward and that these things all make sense, the reason why their cell phone's not working anymore or reason why they didn't come home last night until 3 in the morning and they had glitter on their body. Like, they want to make reasonable explanations for this.
Exactly, and that's what you also talk about, the gaslighting. And one of the things that you're bringing out today, which is really important, is to talk to all of those people that might very well be dating a sex addict and not really be aware of it, and also keep thinking maybe there's something wrong with them. Maybe they're not doing enough. Maybe they're not giving enough. Maybe they're not sexual enough. You have to understand the difference between what you can do in a normal relationship and what is a problem, and that's really important. So let's just speak for a moment to the person who is potentially dating a sex addict. What do they do? How do they handle this?
Right. And I think that's the part, and I love the examples you kind of provided there, because that's exactly what happens with the gaslighting. They are intended to feel as if what they're doing is their fault, and it's not their fault, because they're kind of saying, hey, you got to own this for me. No. That's not the case. And one of the most telling signs that I hear very often from the partner is they just seem distant. They don't seem present. There's some like big like barrier here that I just can't really put my finger on, but there's something here that I don't know what's going on. It's like they tell them, and I heard this one person say, like, oh, yeah, they used to tell me they'd be home right after work at 6 p.m. And then they come walking the door at 8:30. I go, what are you doing home? It's 8:30. You should have been here 2.5 hours ago. And they look directly in their eye, and they go, well, I told you I'd be home at 8:30. I don't know where you got 6 p.m. from. And they just start the gaslighting. And then they take it up a notch, because that's what ends up happening with denial. They commit to this, right? And they're like, well, even if I was honest, you wouldn't believe me. So yeah. Now they're kind of going full circle with the gaslighting to kind of keep them questioning their own reality.
I need to jump in on something because I just got a message from somebody who wanted me to ask this question, and I'm going to answer it. There is not a direct relationship in statistics or actions or outcomes between somebody that cheats a lot and addiction. So I just want to be clear about research and where we are with this. Right. Some people cheat repeatedly, but do not meet, for lack of a better word, the criteria for sex addiction. So, hello, I just want to say that. So don't be going like, he cheats, he's an addict, right? Two different deals.
Right.
Others who cheat repeatedly use cheating as a sexually addictive behavior and can definitely get into benefit from being given sexual addiction treatments, right? So I just want to be really clear because we start to make these generalizations. If your person is cheating on you, that is cheating on you. You got to deal with the cheating on you. Whether or not they're addicted, hello, the cheating. That is, cheating is the number one thing you got to address, whether or not they're sexually addicted or not. The other thing I want to talk about, and if you could talk about it, is we make characterizations about addicts and alcoholics, right? I mean, come on. Everybody does. Oh, you're an addict alcoholic. Where are your tattoos? Or, you know, I can't be wearing a business suit. Okay, so we've changed a little bit. We also do the same with sexual addiction.
Mm-hmm.
We will look at a person and we will say, I know him. Harvard graduate,
right.
Him.
Right. We use words like depraved or perverted. Right.
Ooh, he didn't even have any tattoos. We had to take that whole deal off of the table and say, sex addiction doesn't know any boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely criteria is not having a tattoo. As a matter of fact, that is not the statistics on any of this. And it can affect anyone at any age, at any time, Justin, Ellen, right?
Without a doubt, and a disease for sure. But as we're winding down now, I want to get to the upside of this because this is Transformation Talk Radio. So let's talk about, is recovery really possible and what kind of treatment is available? Let's talk about that, Justin.
So recovery is possible. And I think that's when we kind of talk about the disease of addiction. It's that lifelong affliction, right? And I can live a life of recovery while kind of carrying this with me. And I think that's where couples counseling, family counseling, individual counseling is so important because we're having those open and honest conversations and really exploring and starting to heal those wounds. We're starting to restory and retell like what it is that our life is going to be and how we're going to play this out and how we're going to cope and what support looks like. And I also feel like, you know, getting involved in 12-step recovery groups like SLA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, like is incredibly powerful. You have CODA for the family members.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Codependence Anonymous, right? Like
CODA is one of the most powerful, in my opinion, of all the programs. And I'm telling you, it is not for the weak-hearted.
Yeah.
But it will transform and help, right?
Yep.
And CODA, and just to be clear, even though we're using codependence as a phrase, this is a place where you get to get help to really be able to take care of yourself despite who you're in relationship with, right?
Totally.
Absolutely. And, go ahead, Justin.
Sorry. And because we put codependency out there. It's a really bad thing.
I know.
And, like, these people get, like, chastised. Like, why are you still with them? Like, you should leave them. They're good for nothing. It's like, here you are saying, I love this person
exactly.
So much that I am willing to kind of weather this storm with them. And they inadvertently get so much thrown at them as, like, they're failing when they're really hurting. and they're in a lot of pain. And these people are trying to, like, bend over backwards to take care of their loved one afflicted with this disease. It's just like somebody who's getting cancer treatment. It's like, oh, you have cancer? It's on you now. Good luck. No.
No, but that's for sure. But just like everything else, there are boundaries. Because what happens in a relationship, especially when you have an addict and a person that's trying to help, is that that person can help so much that they lose everything, including their identity, and they and there is an enabling situation. The old things that I have always learned about codependency is that there is a distinct difference between caring and caretaking. And that in itself is something that one learns in CODA meetings. So because we talk about sex addiction and how much it affects everything and how much it affects mental health and there is a treatment for it, are we treating sex addiction like a disease, like substance misuse? Do we call it a disease?
The DSM-5 doesn't recognize it yet. But then again, when you kind of go back years ago and kind of look at gender dysphoria in the DSM-3, where it's just part of the evolution. Gambling disorder finally got kind of recognized in the DSM-5, and I think we're starting to kind of see a trend in that direction where people are not morally judging this, because the people that are caught up and afflicted with sexual addiction, they're not having a good time.
No. No. And this is actually, you're bringing out a really good point. I think that, let's just make a statement. People that are caught up in addiction, while it may seem they're having a good time, the burden that they carry from one minute to the next is a burden. It doesn't matter how you look at it. And yet what I love that you're talking about is there is a solution here. But I want to make this comment, Ellen and Justin, and really drive it home. You really do need to work with a professional. You need to go to a place that understands the multidimensional nature of addiction. I do not believe that you can take an e-book course online and call yourself good. Right? Maybe there are a couple of people that can do it, but then I don't know that I put you under the sex addiction category. The other thing to be really mindful of, you may cross a line that you didn't mean to cross, and it will cause you legal ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
You will go to jail. In the world that we live in, the digital blueprint we live in, the difference between accidentally clicking on a pop-up that you didn't mean to pop up automatically triggers a whole wave of alerts across government and legal. This is a whole new world. See, right? Before, there wasn't that. But this is a whole new world. So the danger of what could happen to Ellen, unmanageable, the danger has such a multidimensional impact, even if you didn't mean to click on that pop-up, right, Justin?
Correct. And you said something a second ago that kind of just made something pop in my head that I want to kind of like put out there, because when we're talking about this, and you're talking about working with a professional that understands this disease and kind of gets all the aspects and the variants, a big part of this is really making sure in the therapy office there and in the room that the disclosure there, because a lot of times the partner will kind of press and say, I want to know details. I want to know everything. And sometimes people make the mistake of doing that at home. And that goes very poorly because there's nobody there to moderate it. There's nobody there to give direction, to kind of be the go-between. And there's no planning or preparation ahead of time. So it really sets people up to kind of really end their relationship because of the information and the way in which it's coming out. So that's why it's really important to do those conversations within a therapy office.
You're absolutely right. And understanding more than anything from both of you, not only does that need a professional, but you have to yourself seek out a professional that specializes in sexual conversations and sex addiction. Just because somebody does specialize in addiction and maybe substance misuse doesn't necessarily mean that they are familiar or can handle professionally sex addiction. So someone like Justin Wolf and Footprints to Recovery is the place to go.
Yes.
When you need more information, information about it, not only from Justin directly, but you can go and call me at 800-889-1757, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. You can call the station Transformation Talk Radio. We will get you Justin's information because you do need a professional. Let's spend the last 4 minutes and let's talk about some success stories and some successful outcomes in terms of the work that you have done, and then leave us with a message, something that we really need to know.
Yeah, so I'll kind of go back to that young lady I was referencing earlier, because at this stage of our work together, she has 3 years of sexual sobriety along with sobriety and substances. And it's just amazing from where she was in terms of just saying, hey, I don't want to be alive anymore, to I'm thrilled to be alive. I'm setting boundaries in my relationships. And she like highlighted this incredible thing called like, I see value in myself. And she's like, I've never seen that before. And she's starting to actually love and say, you know what, I am deserving of somebody who's going to treat me with respect and not just kind of settle for anybody who's going to show up at my doorstep when I call.
And that's very important that you said that when you're talking about sexual sobriety, you're not talking about abstinence, but
Correct. You're
talking about healthy sexual boundaries.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct, because it's just like, it's almost like mirroring like an eating disorder, right? Or disordered eating. The recovery plan from disordered eating isn't you never eat again or you eat till you like get sick. No, it's developing a healthy relationship with this to the point that it's no longer harming you or other people.
Exactly right. And this is what you work with all the time. So what do you want to leave us with? What's the message today?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one, when we talk about sex addiction, a lot of it means that we got to get past our own internal stigmas and our own belief system that paints an inaccurate picture. And that when we look at this disease, we're looking at somebody who is deeply wounded and creating a safe place and not judging or evaluating. Because guess what? There is so much judgment and evaluation going on internally. And I'll kind of share this story. There's this young man I was working with, and he got called in, and his wife's like, hey, I need you home. You got to help out. Like, I'm just overwhelmed with these kids, because we all know how little kids are. And he's like, you know what? Awesome. She's like, I need you home in 3 hours. He's like, great. I'm going to go tell my boss I got to leave now, because that creates this window now for me to go get a massage, get what I want in this moment, and then go home. And he goes home, showers up, takes care of the kids. His wife leaves. Wife comes back at 9 o'clock. He's on the ground. He's playing with the kids. They're wrestling. And he's like, she just looks at me with this like glowing smile and says, oh, you're the man of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And she said this, and he goes, my heart dropped. It just dropped, because if she knew where I was right after she called me, she'd be disgusted with the individual I am.
Well, we know where he can go for help, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to say this, and I'll echo this sooner rather than later. If you have any of the signs that were talked about today, or you see them in your spouse or partner, it doesn't matter whether you're a heterosexual couple or not, but if you see them, please get a hold of Justin. Please give him a call. Because that is going to be the door opening. Even if you don't know what to do, you've got to call an expert and say, what do I do? I mean, what do I do? That is the place to start, isn't it, Ellen? Justin?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us today, Justin.
Yeah, thank
Dr.
you.
Pratt, why don't you take
thank
us out?
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank all of you for tuning us in and turning us on. I want to tell you one other thing about this topic. You know, this is something, thanks to Ellen, that she's bringing to the forefront. We're going to do more and more of this because the statistics now are coming in. COVID did not stop sexual addiction. I just want to point that out. Understanding it and knowing that you can do something about it is important. The devastation of people that are affected by it and the people that are it, they don't want to be this. They don't want to do this. And for all of you out there, please call Ellen. Get a hold of Ellen, because Ellen will help you through the addiction process. Get a hold of Justin, and this is the solution.
You've been listening to Recovery Recharged with certified life and recovery coach Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Don't miss your next opportunity to let me help you recharge your recovery. Let go of your...
and change the way you think.